This is an Aero News Touch and Go for May 21, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. Initial reports say an Indonesian C-130 has gone down during a training mission, killing 69 of 112 souls on board. An Indonesian Air Force spokesman, Bambang Sulistyo, confirmed that the plane came down near an Air Force base in East Java Province. Media reports at least four dwellings on the ground were hit, but there's no word yet on injuries or fatalities on the ground. Witnesses have reported an in-flight breakup, with one villager reporting, quote, "one of the wings fell off, then the plane nosedived into the houses," unquote. The recent safety record of the Indonesian Air Force, sadly, parallels that of its civilian aviation system. Last month, the service lost a Fokker 27, with 24 dead. The president of Boeing Integrated Defense Systems appears to feel the good times for defense contractors fed by decades of the Cold War may finally be ending. Bloomberg reports that in a recent interview, Jim Albaugh commented, quote, "It's possible that 2010 could be the high watermark as far as defense spending," unquote. He was referring to recent policy outlined by U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates, in which the Obama administration is refocusing procurement dollars on weapons systems of the type needed in conflicts like those in Iraq and Afghanistan. Albaugh says Boeing last year bought six companies with technology and expertise in unmanned vehicles, cybersecurity systems, and logistics. He adds that Boeing will move more work in-house, reducing the risks involved in the integration of outsourced subsystems. Other strategies to guide Boeing through the new defense reality include freshening older products, such as the already announced stealth adaptation of the legacy F-15 fighter, which may have appeal for both the U.S. military and its allies overseas. The stakes are high. Just over half of Boeing's $61 billion in 2008 revenue came from military projects. Figures from the U.S. Navy suggest that last week's official cancellation of the VH-71 presidential helicopter program may have been politically expedient, but not necessarily financially smart. Lockheed Martin, with developer Augusta Westland, has taken lots of heat for program cost overruns, which have threatened to double the original projected cost of the new helicopter fleet to more than $13 billion. What the general public doesn't hear very much is that a lot of that bloat was driven by hundreds of changes, including what AW says were 50 major design changes after development was started. Now, Reuters reports the U.S. Navy estimates it'll cost over $500 million to terminate the contract and wind down production, and another $4.4 billion to keep the elderly VH-3 and VH-60 helicopters on the job. Considering that Lockheed said it could deliver a downsized fleet of 14 more VH-71s for $6.8 billion, the cancellation is starting to look penny-wise, pound-foolish. Lockheed has already delivered four test aircraft and five production models. The Navy hasn't decided yet what to do with them now that production of the rest of the fleet has been canceled. This has been an Aero News Touch and Go. Don't forget to check out our complete Aero briefing. There we'll tell you more about these stories. April saw airline traffic down double digits from last year. One segment of the airline industry actually gained in overall employment. And Babbitt faces questions about Flight 3407 and its implications. Also check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell asks Lycoming SVP and GM Ian Walsh for updates on three major product initiatives first announced last summer at Oshkosh. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, iPodder, Podcast Alley, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.